Before we begin our Torah study tonight, let's pray together. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. I want to talk tonight about how to strengthen your heart, how to enlarge your heart and to discover new capacities for love and for faith. You probably know that in the midst of challenge and difficulty, and certainly in the midst of instability, we need to be encouraged and we need our hearts to be touched so that we can keep going until we see whatever it is that God is wanting to accomplish be fulfilled. And this week in the Torah portion, we read about Jacob being in that condition where he needed a touch from God that would touch his heart and shape his attitudes and his perspective and adjust his thinking about his own condition and his future so that he could not only endure the moments he was in, but he could go forward with blessing and with success. The Lord knew that Jacob needed something, and the Lord actually came to Jacob in one of the most beautiful and extraordinary of ways. So let's read about this in Genesis chapter 28, and we'll pick up in verse 10. How many of you have your Bibles with you? Can I see? Good. How many of you have your digital Bibles? Let's just wave thumbs up for the digitati here. Good for you. Starting in verse 10 of Genesis 28. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba, and he traveled toward Haran, and he came to a certain place, and he stayed the night there because the sun had set. He took a stone from the place, put it under his head, and lay down there to sleep. He dreamt that there before him was a ladder resting on the ground with its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of the Lord were going up and down on it. And then suddenly the Lord was standing there next to him. And he said, I am Adonai, the God of Abraham, your father, the God of Yitzchak. The land on which you're lying, I will give to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the grains of dust on the earth. You will expand to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. By you and your descendants, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Behold, I'm with you, and I will guard you wherever you go, and I will bring you back into this land, because I won't leave you until I have done what I have promised you. What an amazing experience. Jacob is having a dream there. Now, some people might think, oh, this was just his own imagination. You know, sometimes you work through your stresses or you work through your unresolved issues while you're sleeping. Sometimes you just don't eat the right thing late at night and you have a dream of some sort that's maybe not meaningful at all. Some people think, well, maybe Jacob just had a bad pillow because he was using a stone. But that is not the case. In fact, God came to Jacob in order to touch his heart, in order to give him understanding as well, understanding that would affect how he felt about life and about his future. Suddenly, it says the Lord was standing there next to him. Jewish scholars agree that the text says this, the Lord was standing next to standing next to Jacob. Now, even if this was taking place in a dream, it was understood to be more than a dream. It was understood to be actually something that God was doing. This was not Jacob just dreaming, it was the Lord appearing. It uses the same language for the appearance of the Lord at other times where he was physically manifesting himself in such a way that Abraham or Isaac could recognize this is the Lord who's right here. We read later on when Moses is on Sinai that the Lord comes down, it says, from heaven and stands next to him. And so we discover something that modern Judaism has some difficulty with because of its philosophical views. We discover that in Torah, God appears. God makes himself visible. He makes himself materially present. So the same God who is beyond heaven and earth, the same God who created everything out of nothing, the same God who is more than normal matter like you and me, and who is eternal and exists forever and apart from the natural resources and the natural processes, this same God can come down into the earth and he can express himself, he can manifest himself. So the Torah says it very clearly. The Lord was standing there next to him. And then the Lord says, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, the God of Yitzchak. So we discover something else. The Lord speaks. He not only is present, but he speaks. And he says this, I am with you. This is one of the most important things. And we'll discover it was profoundly important to Jacob because he did not know that the Lord was with him. How many of you know that the Lord is with you? So that's why you never have any anxiety. That's why we never have any fear, right? That's why we never worry about anything because the Lord is with us. I don't know how it is, but somehow our ability to worry can be greater than our ability to trust in the Lord. But we need to develop trust. And one of the ways that we develop trust is through our responses to what God does in our life. That's what we're going to look at here. And as we develop that trust, our hearts will start overflowing. It's an automatic process. Our hearts will start overflowing with hope, with faith, as we're trusting in the Lord. Well, the Lord says to Jacob, your descendants will be numerous. They'll expand, they'll spread out, or they'll have a breakthrough in that land. And he says, I'll protect you and I'll bring you back. You see, Jacob was heading to Haran. He was looking for a wife. And the Lord says, I'll bring you back and I'll do everything that I promise. Verse 16, Jacob awoke from his sleep and he said, truly the Lord is in this place and I didn't know it. And then he became afraid, and he said, this place is awesome. This is the house of God, Bethel. This is the gate of heaven. Jacob got up early in the morning. He took the stone he'd put under his head. He set it up as a monument stone. He poured olive oil on its top, and he named the place Bethel, the house of God, the town that had originally been called Luz. The Lord is here, but I didn't realize it. That's what Jacob took notice of. And this teaches us something. You and I can be in exactly the same kind of situation where the Lord is with you and you don't even know it. There can be times when you're not seeking the Lord, but he's seeking you. Do you remember when Moses was out taking care of his sheep and he saw this bush that was burning, but it wasn't consumed? And it says he was curious and he went forward. He wasn't touched by some holy motivation. He just thought, this is the strangest thing I've ever seen. A bush that's burning. And he approached. In the same way, Jacob is not doing anything other than living his life, and the Lord comes to him. How you respond to the Lord coming to you is very important. Jacob's first response is, God is here. I didn't even know it. God is here and I didn't realize it. Maybe you've been in a place sometime where you discovered the Lord is there, but you didn't know it before. Sometimes you have to sort through, what does this mean? If God is here, why didn't I know he was here? We have to understand something. God can open his gates to us anywhere. You can be asleep in the middle of the night, and you wake up for no good reason, it appears, and then the Lord puts something on your mind about who you need to pray for. It doesn't make any sense to you. It could be a situation you don't even have any personal knowledge of. It could be about people you don't even know, places you've never been to, but the Lord knows something. He's there. You were just sleeping. Maybe you were snoring. I'm a snorer. I know what that's like. How many are in the snoring club? Okay. You can be in deep sleep and not even realize the Lord is there. And then he can do something where you wake up and realize he is here. Now I need to do something. God can open up his gates to you anywhere. Brian Stone was in Washington this week. We were praying for him. He was trying to help the government think clearly. You know, that's hard work. And I'm not sure I got all the details right, but we were praying for him because ISIS had declared that they were going to do something in Washington, you know, something dangerous. But, you know, our government has told us not to worry. Nothing's going to happen. But there, if I remember right, Brian was in the basement of the Department of Labor or something like that. Not the basement, but, you know, offices underground. And you get some notice. How did you get this notice?
They came into the room.
Oh, they come into the room, and what did they say?
The terror alert is now contained. You don't have to worry anymore.
And he's so far underground, he has no cell phone signal, so he can't find out what's really going on. But in other words, whatever was happening has been dealt with, and they don't have to be afraid anymore. You guys didn't even know about it, right? So you barely had time to be afraid. And so as soon as he got a signal, you know what he did? He connected with home, right? I'm okay. All of us have to learn to do this. We have to learn when there's any kind of instability and uncertainty about your own safety, communicate back to your family that you're okay. It's the kind of thing you do if there's a hurricane or a tropical storm. It's the kind of thing we need to do in any kind of situation where there's a question about it. So the Lord can open up his gates to us anywhere. My wife often has great intimacy with the Lord when she's ironing clothes. Because I am so inept at ironing, I can't imagine that. But I love to worship the Lord and to pray in the shower. How many of you like to do that too? Just a few? You're wasting your time. You thought the only thing you can do there is like get clean. No, you can do other things as well. You can just don't think about it. Just do it. And enjoy your times with the Lord wherever you are. How about when you're driving? How many of you have special fellowship when you're driving? How about cooking? Mish was telling me the other day when he's reading Hebrew and preparing to participate in the Torah service, it brings him special peace. It brings him a special sense of the presence of the Lord. There are so many things that you do in life that God can be in the middle of. It's important to just be open when he comes to you and he wants to do something.
So this is Jacob's first response. Well, this is so incredible. The Lord is here, and I didn't realize it.
Let's go to verse 20. And so Jacob made this vow, if God will be with me, and he will guard me on this road that I'm traveling, giving me bread to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return to my father's house in peace, then the Lord, Adonai, will be my God. And this stone which I've set up as a monument will be God's house. And of everything you give me, I will faithfully return 1/10 to you.
So I want you to understand the language of Jacob. It's the language of faith, he's saying. He's saying, in light of this, it's not if as an uncertainty. It's more like since. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. Since you will be with me, I will do this. You will be my God. You see, the dream was more than a dream. It was an experience, and it actually touched Jacob's heart. It changed him. When he woke up, he was still continuing in the experience that he had in fellowship with the Lord. He communicated back to the Lord. He talked back in response to the Lord. Not only that, but if you think about the greatest fears and needs that Jacob had, the conflict that he had with his brother, the need he had to find a wife, all of these things in some way are addressed, even though his wife, you know, if you will, isn't explicitly addressed here, but he knows that the Lord knows what the purpose of his mission is. He's going to find his wife and to establish a family and then to return with God's help. I didn't realize you were even here, but now I do. That's what Jacob is saying. And he's responding as someone whose heart has been touched. And so now he's looking forward to what's ahead. He's looking forward to what God is going to do. He's looking forward to God's faithfulness. And he's seeing God not just as some abstraction or some religious idea, but very concretely. And he's taking God at God's word. This is something I want you to take particular note of, that God speaks to Jacob, and then Jacob responds to the Lord. And Jacob responds concretely, if you will, point by point, thinking about what God has said and then responding to the Lord. In his response, he's expressing trust. He's expressing expectation. He's saying that he's looking forward to what God has promised to him. He doesn't just take note of what God says. He takes a position about what God says. And his position is the position of trust. It's the position of faith and expectation, because God has done something for Jacob. He's touched his heart, and it's changed his thinking. Maybe you've had this experience where you have such a challenge or such difficulty in your life that it's hard to be hopeful. Have any of you had that kind of experience where you can relate to that? I would think that's a universal experience. Maybe some of you are in the middle of it. It can be hard to be hopeful. And all rational thought can convince you that things are just going to continue in the condition they're in, or even go from bad to worse. And then something happens. God, in some way, touches your heart and changes your understanding and changes how you perceive reality in the future, and your heart gets filled with hope. How many have had this experience of having your hope renewed and your sense of expectation renewed, and you're feeling that there is good coming towards you? God promises that, he speaks this in Deuteronomy, that when you're walking as a faithful man or woman with God, trusting Him, His blessings will chase you down. They'll run after you. They'll jump on you. They'll come to you. It's not that you will chase them down. His blessings will chase you down. They will pursue you, and they will find you. Instead of your enemies pursuing you, God's blessings will pursue you, and they will find you. Hope and expectation and faith are now stirred up in Jacob, and he says, "You will be my God." He's saying, "I'm pledging my loyalty to you, and I'll have no other God." This is very important because he's going back to the land of his fathers, and some of his relatives are polytheists or idolaters still. And even those that are moving in the direction of the Lord still have remnants of idolatry in their practices. And so this decision that Jacob makes, that only the Lord will be his God, it's actually a decision that will bless his future family, the family he doesn't even know yet, the woman he doesn't even know, the wife he doesn't even know, the children who are going to come from him who he doesn't even know. And then there's another response. Jacob becomes a tither. And he says, "I will return one-tenth to you." And that's a correct understanding of tithing. Tithing is returning. It's not a free will offering. Tithing in the scriptures is the returning to God of one-tenth of what he provisionally gives to us. We return to him that tenth, and he says, "Everything you give me," Jacob says, "everything you give me, Lord, I'll faithfully return one-tenth to you." So again, it's a concrete response. He doesn't just say, "Well, wow, you so encouraged me, I'm going to be generous. I'm going to be a generous person now." He acts with concreteness. Now we can see something, that our hearts actually become stronger. They become bigger, if you will, when we see God at work and we respond to his work in our lives with faith and faithfulness. Not only is it possible to love God with your mind, it's possible to love God with your heart. It's possible to hear the Lord in a way that engages your thinking. It's possible to hear the Lord in a way that engages your feelings, your emotion, your personality, and all of your being. Now, sometimes God's at work. He may even give us a word, and we take notice of it. We may write it down, or we may commit it to memory. But that's not the same thing as a positive response about the word. The word can come to us. We can take note of it, but we can be neutral in our response. This can be actually a source of great trouble for us, because the Lord is not looking for neutrality. I like Psalm 107 that says, "In their distress, they cried out to the Lord. He sent his word and he healed them." The Lord is not neutral towards you, and he doesn't want you to respond with neutrality. He's not indifferent to you. He doesn't want you to respond with indifference. And he's not just objective with you. So he doesn't want you just to be objectively interested in something that he's doing. He wants you to love him with all of your heart as well. So it's one thing to take notice, but we have to go beyond that. We have to actually receive from the Lord. And when we say receive from the Lord, it's important to understand that that's not a passive or a neutral thing. Receiving from the Lord means we welcome what the Lord is doing, and we have a positive response that we match with our action as best we can. We start actively loving the Lord with our hearts. With our hearts, we put our faith into practice. Our hearts become stronger, and they become more capable of love and hope and faith. Now, if you read the rest of the Torah portion, if you follow the story of Jacob, you'll understand it wasn't just easy for Jacob from this point on. Some people want a kind of charismaniac experience where they can have some kind of encounter with the Lord, a spiritual encounter for sure, But they just want everything to be easy, and if it's not, they question the authenticity. Well, I can tell you this. Sometimes God comes and he visits us and he equips us and he prepares us, and then we have to go through challenges before we experience that. How many can verify these things from your own lives? In fact, in Hebrew, the whole idea of the tzaddik, the righteous one, is this. The righteous one is one who has been tested through difficulty and has gone through that difficulty and gone through it with faithfulness in God, actually gone through a situation that could not be solved apart from God's help, and they trusted the Lord and they got to the other side and saw the victory and the blessings of God, the fulfillment of that. So righteousness is not just being a religious person. It really means trusting God at a time when your trust counts, and without that trust, you will not get what you were looking for, what God had promised to you. Now, Jacob goes and he connects with family. He finds a beautiful woman who turns out to be the woman of his dreams, if you will, his Basharat, his soulmate. And he wants to marry Rachel, Rachel. He wants her. And so Rachel's father says, okay, you can, but you have to work for her. Now, I think Genesis 29:20 is the most romantic verse in the whole Bible. So why don't you turn there? It says, so Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel, and it seemed only a few days to him because he was so much in love with her. 7 years of working, and for him it was like a few days. He not only had love at first sight, this is what everybody wants. Oh, love at first sight. But you know what? You need love at second sight, third sight, fourth sight, and so on. Jacob's love was love with a commitment. It was love that was willing to pay the price. Jacob valued Rachel, and he gave 7 years of his labor in order to be qualified to marry her. Faith and faithfulness really do develop, and they grow together in us, and they keep company with hope and love. And I believe that the experience that Jacob had with the Lord at Bethel, that's what actually prepared his heart to have this kind of love that was willing to work 7 years and yet felt it's just a few days. Faith and faithfulness work together to build commitment, to build perseverance, and to build purity. And as you understand that, it helps you understand the love of God for us. Yeshua loves us, and he values us too. And he gave more than 7 years labor for us. He gave up his very life for us. Such great love. No greater love has a man than this, than he laid down his life for his friend. Now, our response to his love will make our hearts stronger. When you and I practice thanking the Lord, when we practice hearing and putting into action the things that he shows us to do, you know what? Our hearts get stronger. We become filled with joy. You know, I have to tell you, this morning when I woke up and discovered what was going on in Mali, and I was thinking about the safety of Michelle, who is in Mali this week, and I knew that the Lord had cautioned me to keep praying for his safety the whole time he was away, to continue to pray and to be on high alert. I understood how important it was to continue in that position. And when I woke up and discovered this news, I was concerned, but I wasn't filled with fear. Do you know the difference? Because when you're filled with faith that's already been activated, and then you find yourself in a challenging situation, you know what? Your faith and the shalom that comes with that will rise up, and it will protect you and protect your heart. Antonio and I had this experience. Sort of a funny episode. We went to see a guy on death row recently. Some of you know about that, and we're praying for us. We thank you. What you might not know is that when we went to see him, we went through all the security and the gates and the controls, and then we were taken into an office where we met this fellow, and he was shackled. He had cuffs, special cuffs. His hands were, you know, like chained together like this, and he was shackled in his feet. He wasn't shackled to the floor or the table, so he was able to get up and shake our hands. And we were talking to him about the most important things, including being humble before the Lord and being ready to meet the Lord on God's terms. And it was a strong moment, really strong. And guess what happened at that moment? We're sitting across a table, Antonio and I sitting next to each other on one side, he's on the other side. All the power goes out. The lights go out. And we're sitting there in darkness long enough to think about everything that could happen. Am I right? Long enough. And you can imagine all the things you could think about at that moment. Well, interestingly enough, this man calmly spoke to us not to worry. He was assuring us. But afterwards, as we were driving back, I said, Antonio, how did you feel during that time? And he said, well, I felt peaceful. I felt peaceful, too. We both felt peaceful. And this is why. We had known what God wanted to do on that day, how he wanted to use us. We prepared for it. We put off every spirit of fear, and we put on the Spirit of God, whose power, love, and a sound mind. And we'd prepared ourselves in order to minister eternal life to this guy who really needs it, because his life will soon be over. And he will meet his maker. That peace is not explainable. You can't rationally convince someone, oh, you should be peaceful when you're in a closed room with a convicted killer and the lights go out. The peace is what kind of peace? It's the peace that comes from the Lord. And it changes us, it touches us only if we receive his peace. We can't just reject it. We can't just be neutral. We have to understand that when he wants to give peace, we need to actively embrace and welcome his peace. And when he wants us to be strong, we have to actively do the same. We have to embrace that boldness that he's calling for us. I can tell you this, when you do that, your heart gets bigger and stronger. And that enables you to do other things as well. So I believe that some of us are in the middle of challenging situations, difficulties, and if you will allow the peace of God and the hope of God and the good plans of God and the mercy of God and the intentions that God has for you to not only be ideas to you, but to touch your heart, then your response will be to agree with the Lord and to verbalize it and to act on it, to say it, and to take a position of trust towards the Lord. And when you do that, you get even stronger. your trust gets stronger, your faith gets stronger, your hope gets stronger, and you are able to go through that situation and get to the blessing and the good fruit that the Lord has for you. So I want to pray for anybody who wants help in this. If you want your heart to grow stronger, I want to pray for you. And if you want to stand up, if you can, if you can't, just tell the Lord, I'm standing up, even if I'm not standing up. I'm standing up on the inside. Lord, I pray for all these who are standing before you today and are saying that they want their hearts to be strong before you. They want to be stronger still. And I pray, Lord, that each one would respond positively to the things that you've promised to them, to the things that you've revealed to them, to the things that you put in their hearts and their minds already, to the things that you've spoken to them through the scriptures and by your Holy Spirit. And that they would not only have an internal response, but they would have an external response, both of which would be responses of trust. Lord, we don't want to be neutral or indifferent, and I pray for anyone who's just been neutral and has been thinking about trusting the Lord, thinking about the promises of God, and I pray that tonight that trust would be activated and expressed more fully. And let it be, Lord, that because of our trust growing strong and our hearts growing strong, that we can actually fulfill the great things that you've called us to do and see the promises fulfilled. We pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Y'all can't imagine how much it touches my heart that Rabbi Yuri and Rabbi Zanina are here with us, and that like right now, Rabbi Yuri just walked down to stand with me. And the fact that the Atlantic Ocean and many countries don't separate us anymore, we're right here together, it's just a great encouragement for me. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai p'navelecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.